It's a bright morning, it's a bright morning, it's a bright morning, it's a bright morning, bright morning, morning.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has very beautifully mentioned and stated, undoubtedly, Allah Azza wa Jal has stationed an angel at my grave who has been granted the power of hearing the voice of every creature. Hence, whosoever until the day of judgment recites salat upon me, he, means the angel, presents that person's name along with his father's name to me. The angel says, so and so, son of so and so, has recited salat upon you. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayki ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad nurim min nurillah. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful episode and silsila of this wonderful series known as A Bright Morning. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Before we begin our discussion, our topic for today, let's make good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make good intentions such as, inshallah, when I hear the name of Allah, I will say Jalla Jalaluhu, Jalla Shanuhu Ta'ala, Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I will glorify and praise Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When I hear the blessed name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I will recite durood, salutation, salawat, salam upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And likewise, when I hear the blessed name of the Awliya'i Kiram, I will say Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayha. And inshallah, Azzawajal, whatever I learn, I will first and foremost try and act upon it, and then inshallah, I'll try and pass the message on to others as well. For indeed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned and stated that بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, convey on my behalf, even if it is a single ayah. So each and every person out there is indeed a مُبَلِّغ and a مُبَلِّغَ of the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to pass the teachings of Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to pass the message of Islam. So with this intention, every person should make the intention that inshallah, whatever I learn today, I will inshallah pass the message on to others as well. Alhamdulillah, before we discuss our topic for today, let us listen to a beautiful kalam inshallah in the praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we return from the kalam, then inshallah we will be carrying on the discussion for today, which is the excellence of hunger. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Roshan kar qabr be kason ki ae shamae jamal mustafa ai aankhon mein chamak ke dil mein aa ja شمعِ جمالِ مصطفیٰ اے سبز گنبد والے منظور دعا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا اے نور خدا آ کر آنکھوں میں سما جانا یا در پہ بلا بلا لینا یا خواب میں آ جانا اے نور خدا آ کر آنکھوں میں سما جانا یا در پہ بلا لینا یا خواب میں آ جانا اے پردہ نشین دل کے پردے میں رہا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا میں قبر اندھیری میں گھبراؤں گا جب تنہا امداد میری کرنے آ جانا رسول اللہ میں قبر اندھیری میں گھبراؤں گا جب تنہا امداد میری کرنے آ جانا رسول اللہ روشن میری تربت کو اے نور خدا کرنا روشن میری تربت کو اے نور خدا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا مجرم ہوں جہاں بھر کا محشر میں برم رکھنا رسوائے زمانہ ہوں دامن میں چھپا لینا مجرم ہوں جہاں بھر کا محشر میں برم رکھنا رسوائے زمانہ ہوں دامن میں چھپا لینا مقبول یہ عرض میری محبوب خدا کرنا مقبول یہ عرض میری محبوب خدا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا چہرے سے ضیا پائی ان چاند ستاروں نے اس در سے شفا پائی دکھ درد کے ماروں نے چہرے سے ضیا پائی ان چاند ستاروں نے اس در سے شفا پائی دکھ درد کے ماروں نے آتا ہے انہیں صابر ہر دکھ کی دوا کرنا آتا ہے انہیں صابر ہر دکھ کی دوا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا اے سبز گنبد والے منظور دعا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم صلات و سلام علیکہ یا سیدی یا حبیبی یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ محمد نور من نور اللہ. ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ, some beautiful اشعار and stanzas and couplets in the praise of نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to continuously praising نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم every moment, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to have the حقیقی and the true عشق مصطفیٰ and the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, 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 ya rabbal alameen, subhanallah. So our topic for today was the excellence of hunger and the benefits of keeping fast, observing fast, and not eating to a full stomach, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. I will begin with a beautiful saying of Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And this is such a personality who is, alhamdulillah, I would say, one of the greatest walis and saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali very beautifully mentions, and he says, whoever eats only when he is hungry and withdraws his hand from the food while still hungry. Only eats when he is hungry and withdraws his hand from the food whilst he is still hungry will never be in need of a doctor. Therefore, food should only be consumed when one is absolutely hungry. Allah, Allah, Allah. These are golden words of Sayyidina Imam Ghazali, present in the Ihya ul-Ulum Sharif. That once a person eats only when he is hungry and he stops eating, means he withdraws his hands whilst he is still hungry. Then the reward for this is that he will never be in need of a doctor. There are many reasons behind this, many wisdoms behind this. Number one, when a person eats only when he is hungry, then that is the time when he really needs the food. Sometimes there are some people, or sometimes it's maybe the habit of some people that you're not hungry but you still want to eat the food. Understand? Maybe you are desiring to eat something, or maybe you just wish to eat something, maybe you just want it just for fun, just for taste, whatever the case is. In that case, the extra food which you are eating means you're not hungry now. Your body that doesn't need it, or your body is not in real dire need of that food. So you went, you ate that food has an extra impact upon your body. Because now it is something extra going towards your body. Yes, the nutrients, the vitamins, the proteins, whatever is there, it will be existing. But it is something extra going towards your body. And number two, that a person eats until he is filled up to his throat. Now there are lots of issues after this. First of all, there are some health problems in this. Secondly, this can cause lots of laziness and fatigue. Because when a person eats to his full, then he starts feeling lazy, he starts feeling sleepy, he starts feeling tired, he starts feeling nauseous, and he just wants to maybe lay down, sit down, or do lots of just relax himself, basically, as you say. And third thing is that when a person eats full, right, then very easily he comes in the deception of his nafs. And his nafs can control him very easily, because now he has fulfilled his desire of filling up his stomach. So these beautiful words of Imam Ghazali is very important, that the one who eats only when he is hungry and he stops eating, means he withdraws his hand whilst he is hungry, that person will never be in need of a doctor. I mean, when we eat so much, that's when all this fat in our body starts occurring. We start getting body fat. We start, lots of diseases come with it. Once the fat comes and the body diseases comes, there's lots of problems which happen in a later stage in our life, especially the things we eat when we are young. Then the effects start taking place once a person crosses maybe the age of 35, 40, 45, whatever it is. It means later on in life, the person realizes and his body starts reacting to all those things which he ate when he was young, when he was healthy. So this is a very beautiful saying of Imam Ghazali. Only when you are hungry, then you must eat the food. In that case, your body knows that, you know, it needs this now. So as soon as it comes, quickly the process will happen and everything will be sorted out easily. And whilst you are hungry, you know, you stop eating. So your body doesn't have to overwork. It's working, and you're sending more, your body is working continuously. All right, there comes a time where, you know, let's put it like this here, okay? Just to give you an understanding. You're busy with a machine. Let's say it's a liquidizer machine or a juicer machine, whatever it is. And you put your things inside. And as soon as you're on the machine, you know, you don't keep it on right from A to Z. And you keep on letting it spinning until, you know, your smoothie or milkshake, your juice, whatever it is, it's done. No. You're on, and after a few seconds, you're off. You're on and you're off. Right? To give the machine a break. You don't run the machine from A to Z continuously. It must start cutting the fruits from the beginning until it becomes juicy and everything. No, in that case, yes, your machine will work one time, two times, three times, 1 year, 2 years, 4 years. But later down the line, your machine will start giving you problems. It'll stop working. It'll start having issues. It'll start damaging, whatever the case is. Likewise, you know, just to give you an understanding, inside this body, there is lots of work which is happening. So when this one muscle of yours goes down your throat, it's not just one muscle going in your throat and it goes in your stomach and finish. No. There's a whole process in your stomach. This is also the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when the muscle goes down, then each part of the body starts taking what it wants. Let's say one part of the body needs the protein, so it will take the proteins from the food. One part will take the vitamins, someone will take the carbohydrates, or whatever it is from the food it will be taking. So different parts of the body will now be taking different things from that same food of yours. Yes, maybe there is something which benefits your eyes, something in the food which benefits your ears, something in the food which benefits your heart, whatever it is. So the body knows what to take, what not to take. And whatever is left, the waste, that then comes out when we relieve ourselves. And so this entire process is happening here inside. So if a person eats only when he is hungry, the body knows mentally and physically you are ready, because remember, the brain sends the message to the stomach and to the remaining part of the body. So the understanding is there that, look, yes, you are hungry, you need something now. So they will know that something will be coming very soon. When something goes inside, quickly the body starts adapting and starts working, because it was ready, it was waiting for it. Alright, once everything went in the stomach, the body started working, and you didn't, you know, overload the stomach, that you kept on sending food inside. No, you ate little bit until you were still hungry and you stopped. So the body worked, let's say for example, the machine was working for 10 minutes. And now it's waiting, it stopped, because now the food you ate, that's all. So your body will have the enough time to do everything, you know, in a beautiful manner, and at the same time it will have enough rest. When your body has rest, then alhamdulillah, your body is healthy, your body is not tiring itself, it's not overworking. This is all an example I'm giving you, just to keep the process in your mind. Right? I'll give you the example of the machine and the works and all of that. Now, there's no machine in our body, but just to give you an understanding of how the entire system works. So now if you look at the words of Imam Ghazali, you will understand how much wisdom is behind these words of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi subhanallah. On the contrary, on the other hand, if a person, you know, keeps on eating, even when he is not hungry. So the body is not, first of all, mentally ready for it. Why? The body was expecting when you are hungry, then the food is going to come. Here you are not hungry and the food is coming. So the body still has to work, because the food has to be digested, the nutrients, everything needs to be taken out. So the body will start working. And then you keep on eating until the food is still here. So now the body is working continuously. There is no rest. Right? And the body was working for few seconds or sometime the body had a rest. Whilst the body had a rest, you weren't hungry, you sent more food inside. Now the body has to start working again. Alright, so today you won't notice it. Tomorrow you won't notice it. 5-10 years, maybe you won't notice it. But later on in life, when you reach that age of 40, 35, whatever it is, then your body starts kicking and reacting to all the things which you have done in this young age. So scientifically and Islamically as well, alhamdulillah, it is better that a person puts, you know, a very beautiful madani gard, and we say kufle madina, on the stomach, and a person controls his diet, controls what he eats, subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, intentional hunger. Remaining hungry intentionally, willing, desiringly. You know, whilst you have the desire, you remain hungry. This is also a very beautiful sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, he who loves my sunnah loves me, and he who loves me will be with me in Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully mentions in Surah Ahqaf, verse number 20. Allah ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, you have exhausted your good things in your worldly life and fully enjoyed them. Therefore, today you will be given the humiliating punishment. Allah. Hazrat Allama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Murad Abadi, Sadrul Afadil, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, very beautifully mentions in his very famous commentary and tafsir of the Holy Quran known as Khazain al-Irfan. He says that in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal has reprimanded the unbelievers for having worldly pleasures. Therefore, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba ikram, his blessed companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, abstained from worldly pleasures. Subhanallah. In Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, it is mentioned that until the apparent demise of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blessed family never ate bread made from barley for 2 consecutive days. It's also mentioned in a hadith that at times the whole month passed, but fire would not burn on the stove for cooking food. The blessed household would merely survive on water and a few dates. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala has said, O people, if I had wanted, I would have eaten better than you and worn better clothes than you, but I want to reserve my pleasures and comforts for my year after. Subhanallah. Salli wa alayhi al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, very beautifully, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, and he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remain hungry for many nights in succession. His blessed household often did not have anything to eat at night, and whenever they would get something to eat, it was mostly bread made from barley. Allah, 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 subhanallah. This is the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we learned that how these Sahaba ikram and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acted upon this, that they abstained from, you know, eating to the full, eating a lot, making sure that every time they are eating, making sure that, you know, they have the luxuries of the best food or those kind of things. No. This was the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As is mentioned, that many days would pass, the stove would not burn in the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for cooking. And likewise, his blessed household did not have anything to eat at night. And when they would get something to eat, it was mostly bread made from barley. Bread from barley, some water, some khajur. This was the food of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the food of the Sahaba ikram. And look at Sayyidina Umar Farooq, what beautifully he mentioned that if I had wanted, I would have eaten better than you and worn better than you, but I want to preserve my pleasures and my comforts for the year after. Subhan. This is the thinking of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, their luxuries, their comforts and everything, they had the desire that, you know, no, we'll have it one time in the year after. You know, in this world, we'll go through a bit of struggle, a bit of sacrifice we'll do. We'll it's a bit difficult on ourselves, but we'll manage it, we'll do it so we can enjoy the beauties and the luxuries in the hereafter. Subhanallah. This is the teachings of Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hunger, this remaining hungry is something very important, and it is a very beautiful sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, gave his armor, pawned his armor for barley. In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, gave his armor just to get some barley, to buy some barley. This was the state of the living of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He further states that he presented some cooked and melted fat with some barley bread in the respected court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, my entire family has never had one saw. One saw is about more than 2 kilograms of food. My entire family has never had one saw of food in the morning and in the evening. Allah, keep in mind that the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consisted of 9 different homes. So my family didn't have, you know, even more than 2 kilos of food in the morning and in the evening. Allah, 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 Allahu Akbar. The entire family, 9 different homes. So how little would they eat? And how little, from this beautiful hadith, there's lots of things you come to know. First of all, you come to know that the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that personality that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make the mountains of gold for you. And those hadiths are present here. We'll mention them inshallah. And the mountains would be of gold. The treasures would be by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sort of bounty and luxury would be in the feet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, that is 100% true and correct. And that would have been possible and would have been done if it was the desire and the wish of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at the life which my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose was the life of simplicity. The life of, you know, not having lots of luxuries and beauties and wealth and pomp and glory and all these kind of things. No. It was a simple life, a beautiful life, a respected life, alhamdulillah. And this is also a lesson for each and every person until the day of Qiyamah. That sometimes we should learn, or sometimes, I would say always, we should learn to be content with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we might not be having, you know, the best house, the best car, the best bank balance or whatever the case is. But learn to be pleased and happy with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, you will see in that there is barakah and there is blessings. On the other hand, you must have noticed a person who has lots of luxuries, you know, he has wealth and this and that. You'll see him that, yes, he has all that money. But there is no zehni sukoon, there is no peace of mind, there is no tranquility of the mind. Every time he's just thinking, he's worried. No, this payment I have to do, that payment I have to do, this money I have, that money I have, this I have to buy, that I have to buy. There's so much issues that, you know, kehne ko to paisa hai, he has money. You know, you're saying that yes, he has money, but there is no peace of mind, there is no sukoon in his life. He can't sleep properly at night. He has to have sleeping pills. He has to take sleeping medication, whatever the case is. So, alhamdulillah, you know, a simple life is one of the best lifestyles. That you're not depending on anyone. We make dua, may Allah Ta'ala save us from, you know, being dependent on anyone. May Allah Ta'ala keep us always dependent on the blessed Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbil Alameen. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us always dependent on the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mustn't make us muhtaj and dependent of anyone else besides him, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. So that's my message to you all, that whatever little you have, you're not muhtaj of anyone, alhamdulillah. And at the same time, it's something which is simple, you know, alhamdulillah, you can look after your family, you can take care of them, take care of your children, and it's all right. Then there's no need for you to have that pomp, that glory, that best car, that best house and everything. Alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And move on, inshallah, subhanAllah. And the second beautiful lesson we learn from this beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, entire family consisted of 9 different homes. But look at the sabr and the shukr they had. Alhamdulillah, not even more than 2 kilos of food was prepared for them in the morning and in the evening. Means whatever was prepared was little. Maybe it was kajur, maybe it was water, maybe it was just little few pieces of barley bread, maybe it was a little bit of milk, whatever it was. But it was little, that we know. Alright, it wasn't a lot of food. But still they were, alhamdulillah, shakir and sabir. Every moment they thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they had sabr on every difficulty and every problem. Subhanallah. These are the beautiful people who had the tarbiyat directly from the Zat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since we are discussing food now, a very beautiful narration is in front of me. It is mentioned that once a saint, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, picked up a piece of bread to eat. When he looked at it with his spiritual insight, right, with his kush, you can say, so he realized that a ray of light emerged from that morsel, from that piece of bread. When he focused on the direction of the light going upwards, he saw that the light, the noor, was actually linked to a ray of light, to a ray of the noor of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On looking closer, he discovered that the noor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached every worldly favor, every ni'mat in this world. Allah, 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 subhanallah. The noor of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached every favor, every ni'mat in this world, that even the piece of bread the favor of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the nur of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on that piece of bread as well. In other words, everything is through the sadaqah and the wasila of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Badhti hai kaunain mein ni'mat Rasulullah ki. The bounties of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, is distributed in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he wanted, I mean, through him, everyone is getting all the sustenance, the risk. So he could have had the best food, the best lifestyle, have the best luxuries, as I mentioned. But alhamdulillah, he chose a life of some simplicity. And that was indeed the best life. And it is the best life which any person can choose. Subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, and this is mentioned in Shama'il al-Tirmizi Sharif, that some of the companions once complained to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about their hunger. And the Sahaba kiram, they showed him the stones tied to their stomach. So seeing this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his blessed clothing. Yeah? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revealed that there were two stones tied to his blessed stomach. Allah, 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 Allah. Sayyidina Imam Tirmizi has mentioned that the stones that were tied on the blessed stomach of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was due to severe hunger and weakness. Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba ikram would tie maybe one stone on their stomach, but my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tie two stones on his stomach. Imagine the hunger, imagine the weakness at that time. And at the time of the battle of Ahzab, the battle of the trenches, when the trenches were dug at that time, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also very, very hungry. The blessed stones were tied on the blessed stomach of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time also, in that hunger, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam helped dig the trench with the Sahaba ikram. Allah, Allah, may I be sacrificed on the beautiful character and the akhlaq of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May me, my parents, and everyone be sacrificed on the beautiful words of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the beautiful etiquettes and the excellent conduct of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen, subhanallah. So, this was the state of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if Sahaba ikram were tying one stone, then he would tie two stones, but to show the amount of hunger and weakness our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Bujair radiallahu ta'ala anhu very beautifully mentions, and this is mentioned in Al-Mawahibul Ladunya, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once felt extremely hungry. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a stone, tied it to his blessed stomach and said, "Beware, there are many people who eat delicious food and have a lavish lifestyle in this world, but on the day of judgment they will be hungry and naked. Beware, there are many people who strive to become honorable, yet they are gathering provisions of humiliation. Beware, there are many people who are seen humiliating themselves, but this is a means of respect for them." Allahu Akbar. The words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many people who eat delicious food and have a lavish lifestyle in this world. You know, they're enjoying every bounty, they doing everything, you know, as we say, to the T. Everything is just stops for them. But on the day of judgment, they will be hungry and naked. And they will suffer on the day of judgment. There will be accountability there. There will be problems for them there. So in other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing the message and he's telling you all that, you know, in this world, live the life of simplicity. Automatically, you will see in the hereafter, inshallah, you will reap abundance of reward and lots of blessings from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. The beloved prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also had the habit of eating less and, you know, living this life of simplicity. As Sayyidina Musa Kareemullah, when Musa al-Islam arrived at the well of Midian, he was so weak that the green color of the vegetable he had last consumed was visible from outside his breast stomach. It's also narrated that he al-Islam did not eat anything during the 40 days when he al-Islam had the privilege of speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Likewise, Sayyidina Qazi Ayaz has mentioned, the clothing of Prophet Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam was made from wool and his bedding from animal hair. He alayhi salam used to eat barley bread with salt. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam never built a house for living. He would rest wherever he felt sleepy and he used to wear clothing made from animal hair and eat the leaves of trees. Allah, Allah, Allah. Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam would consume wet grass as his food. He alayhi salam used to weep so much in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the tears had left marks on his blessed cheeks. Allah. These are also the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, those prophets who are mentioned in the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lifestyle, the incidents are mentioned in the Holy Quran. But look at these beautiful personalities. I mean, eating grass, eating leaves, what is this? This is actually ways of, you know, suppressing your nafs and destroying your nafs. Because the nafs won't like you to eat leaves. The nafs won't want you to eat grass. The nafs won't want you to remain hungry. So when a person does all of these things here, what is he doing? Is he going against his nafs? He's destroying his nafs. He's killing his nafs. And the moment a person successfully goes against his nafs and destroys his nafs and kills his nafs, you must know that person is successful in this world and in the hereafter. Because one of the main causes and the reasons behind our bad deeds, our filthy actions, our filthy deeds, is this nafs of ours, this the inner soul. You know, it always pushes us to do the worst things, to do the filthiest things. That's why the awliya kiram, the anbiya alayhi musalam, the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they wanted to work on finishing their nafs, the first step they would do is they would start observing hunger. Their luxuries, their desires, they put it one side. Your desire is you want to eat the best of foods, but you put it one side and you say, no, I won't do it just to kill your nafs. Your desire is that you must, you know, make sure you are full, your stomach is full, you ate till your throat, but going against your nafs is that, no, I'll stop even when I'm hungry. I'll eat just a little bit. I'll follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by eating a little bit, by remaining hungry, inshallah. That's going against your nafs. So that's why it is pious predecessors, they used to remain hungry because they needed to go against their nafs. And once they go against their nafs, then doing the ibadah and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes much more easier because now there is no interference of the nafs. The nafs is weak, the nafs is lying one corner, and yet the person happily worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This was the one of the beautiful wisdoms and the hikmat and the reason behind remaining hungry. And this is one of the excellence of hunger as well. Subhanallah. One more narration of Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha I would like to mention. Sayyidina Masrooq has said that once he went to the house of Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa. So Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa ordered that food should be brought for him. So she radiallahu ta'ala anha then said, whenever I eat food to my full stomach, I feel like crying. Why? He asked. She radiallahu anha replied, I remember the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who left us in such a state that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ate meat or bread twice a day to his full stomach. Allah, 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 subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, this is also another beautiful narration with regards to the hunger of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the perfect example for every person until Qiyamah. Subhanallah. With these few words, we unfortunately came towards the conclusion of today's silsila episode. And the lesson I want everyone to take away from today's episode, yes, we are not like these great people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, who went to the level of eating grass and leaves just to kill their nafs. We can't do that. But somehow, try even as little as possible to kill your nafs, to go against your nafs. Start with something small. You are desiring to have, let's say for example, this cup or this glass full of cold drink. It's not something which is necessary. It's not something which is compulsory upon you. So one day leave it and try it. You know, do something against your nafs. Something which your nafs wants to do and you do and you go against it. Your nafs says, go and do this bad thing. Go speak a lie. And you say, no, I'm not going to speak a lie. Or backbite, and you say, no, I'm not going to backbite. And so your nafs tells you to do something evil, something bad, and you go against it slowly, slowly. That's how a person starts. And inshallah, 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 there comes a time when a person goes fully against his nafs and against his desires. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon whatever we have learned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us abundance of barakah, abundance of happiness. Subhanallah, remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah, you lose everything. Subhanallah. We hope to see you soon, inshallah, to another exciting and beautiful topic. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you abundance of barakah, abundance of happiness. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu al Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It's a bright morning, it's a bright morning, it's a bright morning, it's a bright morning. It's a bright morning.